Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Well, by now, many of you have no doubt seen the viral video that's going around on YouTube and now has appeared in many people's Facebook posts. But it says this: I am a Christian, but I would basically say, in summarizing what you we see on that video, it's I am a Christian, but I don't follow Christ, I think would be an accurate assessment of what is said after that statement, I am a Christian, but. The video not only has been making its rounds, but also the hashtag out on social media like Twitter and so forth is pretty much ubiquitous right now, and the hashtag is hashtag I am a Christian, but. It's obvious, I think, when we look at this, that this is a propaganda piece for a version of Christianity that is Christian in name only. It mentions that they are Christians, but, and then it goes on to say a number of things afterwards. I tell you what, why don't we play the video right now so you can hear it for yourself, what is said, and then I'll come back on afterwards and introduce our guest on the radio program today.
I'm Christian, but I'm not homophobic.
I'm Christian, and I'm definitely not perfect.
I'm Christian, but I'm not closed-minded.
But I'm not unaccepting.
But I'm not uneducated.
But I am not judgmental.
But I'm not conservative.
I'm not ignorant, but I don't place myself on a pedestal.
I'm Christian, but I don't have all the answers.
But I am accepting.
But I am queer.
I am gay.
But I am a feminist.
I'm a feminist.
Definitely am a feminist.
But I do believe in science. In fact, I think science makes God look really cool.
I'm not afraid to talk about sex. I love me some Beyonce.
But I love wine.
I do believe in monogamy before sex. But I will give you sex advice if you need it.
But I do go to church on Sundays.
I was a Young Life camp counselor.
I do listen to Christian music. Christian rock, Christian rap. T-Mac, all the cool kids.
I have friends from all walks of life and different religions.
I love them all.
I guess what I'd like people to know about Christianity today is that we're all kind of not crazy.
We shouldn't be judged on just the people that you see in the media or just the people that you've met in your everyday life. Every Christian is different, and we deserve a chance to explain ourselves.
A lot of people think that Christianity ruins people, but to me, I think it's people that are ruining Christianity. You never really see the good that happens. You only see the hypocrites and the people who put themselves on a higher pedestal.
But at its core, it really is about love and acceptance and being a good neighbor.
Just because we prescribe to a faith that has some really terrible people in it, doesn't make all of us terrible.
I don't think that Christians should judge people for who they are and what they do. I think everybody is in a different part of life, on their own path to wherever they're trying to go. We're all people, and I think love is the most important thing.
Okay, there you have it. I'm not actually sure who produced the video, other than if it's, it appears on BuzzFeed, I think is where it appears. But you can obviously hear in this that this is another one of those let's bash the Christian type of video. And then also it presents a view of Christianity, though, that I think is very telling and unfortunately very popular in our day and age. When I saw this, I saw around the same period of time that a brand new book was coming out that I thought the discussion around this book would really help us to interpret what we hear in this video. So I thought I'd get the author on the program today to talk about that. The book I'm talking about is called Uncensored, Daring to Embrace the Entire Bible. And I think that that topic about the way that they are picking certain verses of the Bible that they like but ignoring the rest of it is something that fits very well with what we need to talk about in discussing this video. The book is authored by Brian Cosby, and he says in the book, and let me just read a little blurb here. It says, in the book, Cosby dares Christians to embrace the entire Bible by exposing the dangers of cherry-picking only the socially correct versions rather than holding fast to the whole counsel of God. Uncensored is a wake-up call to Christians who find themselves embarrassed by portions of Scripture, as well as an exploration of why believers can confidently embrace all the Scriptures. So Brian Cosby joins us now. Brian's been with me on the program before. He's a senior pastor of Wayside Presbyterian Church, a PCA church, on Signal Mountain in Tennessee. He is also a visiting professor of church history at Reformed Theological Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia. He's been on me on the program before talking about the one of his other books, which was called Giving Up Gimmicks, Reclaiming Youth Ministry from an Entertainment Culture. He also has other books out as well. Brian, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thanks so much for having me again. It's a joy to be with you.
Well, Brian, let me just get your comment about this video that's gone viral. And was I right to think that this would fit very well into a discussion around what you wrote in your book?
You're absolutely right. You know, I think one of the greatest challenges that the church faces is speaking the truth in love. And I think what so often happens is we don't know how to do that well. And so we think that the most loving thing to do is to dismiss with the truth, and that's really the loving thing to do. But in reality, that's really taking part of that verse there in Ephesians 4:15, and really inserting our own thoughts on how to be the most loving, rather than looking at what Scripture has to say about speaking the truth. You know, it's interesting because people always say, well, you can't judge me, don't judge me. It's interesting, though, when you, and these are people who claim to be Christians in this video that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
but when you go and you look and you read about what Jesus actually said about judging others, it's, you know, like in John chapter 7, making the right judgment, or in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, when you do judge someone, make sure you take out the plank first in your own eye. But then he says, but then go to your brother about his speck. You know, then, so he's not saying never go to your brother to talk about it. There's a way in which to do it. There's a gentleness, certainly, and a loving way to do it, but we can't neglect the truth either. And I think that's what's happening. I think we're embarrassed by some of these harder portions of the Bible, and so we just ignore them altogether.
Mm. Yeah, that particular case there with judging, which, of course, is the favorite of videos mm-hmm. like this and critics like this in the video, is judge not lest you be judged. And Christ in that passage, of course, he condemns hypocritical judgment. If you're doing the same thing that you're condemning, obviously there's a problem there. That's hypocritical judgment. But he actually commends judgment. We all we have a mandate from God to judge, but to judge righteous judgment, and judging according to the standard, and the standard for all of us is God's Word, God's holy Word. And so we should judge, but we need to judge righteously. We need to judge in the way that He has commended us and commanded us to judge. Let me ask you, in your book, it's really only two parts in the book, and get you to summarize it a little bit. But for our listening audience, the book is broken up into two sections. Part one says, Embarrassed by the Bible, and part two says, The Art of Censorship. In the opening part, Embarrassed by the Bible, do you find that people feel that they're kind of presenting themselves as if God needs a PR person, that there's many parts of our understanding of the Almighty that are not very palatable to people in general. So people have taken it upon themselves to kind of play those parts down. Or as you say, do you find that people are embarrassed by what they find in the scripture?
Yeah, I think if we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, with others, that there are passages that we're very uneasy about. You know, we'll claim you're a Bible-believing church. I'm an evangelical, you know, but all the while we are censoring certain passages. If you go down to most churches into a nursery room or wing, you know, a lot of times you'll see like a depictions of the flood, the Genesis flood.
Mm-hmm.
And typically it's like nice, cute, smiling, fluffy animals.
Yes.
You miss the entire point of what's going on there.
It was cataclysmic, right? I mean, it was chaos with volcanic activity and the deluge and, you know, just unbelievably violent, if we could put it that way.
Right. You just mainly just think of the pink and blue animals. You just got to get two of them on there, and they're nice and fluffy. I see this in books. You know, I was recently reading The Forgiving Tree, Berenstain Bears book. I don't know if you've heard of that, but, it has this great quote from Matthew 6. You know, Jesus is speaking, if you forgive others their sin, then my Heavenly Father will forgive you your sin. But it doesn't quote the next part.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not forgive others their sin, then my Heavenly Father will not forgive you your sin. You know, we do this all the time. I see this in my own life. This is where it came out when I was reading, rereading Psalm 139 in my Bible. And Psalm 139 is wonderful. I mean, it talks about, you know, it's a well-known text that is very pro-life. It talks about God's character and his sovereignty, his omnipotence, all of that. And it's very warm. It's wonderful. And then all of a sudden you hit this, like, verse 19. And as I was reading it, had all this, like, underlining, highlighting in my Bible. And I was just humming along. You know, it was wonderful. And then I hit verse 19, and it says, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God."
Hmm.
And I didn't underline that. I skipped down a few verses that talk about that. And I picked back up, "And lead me in the way everlasting." That's underlined. But we do this. We don't want to consider, you know, certain characteristics and attributes of God that we are uncomfortable with. We love his love and grace and mercy, but it's so difficult to consider his holiness and justice and sovereignty and those kinds of things that we just don't talk about it. You know, when you listen to not your program, but other Christian radio or billboards, you know, you'll see just the nice parts of the Bible, unless, because we're so scared about being associated with that Westboro church, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be in that category and talk about the mean side, and that's completely non-Christian, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to affirm that. But
right.
But this is what we do. I think we go to the opposite extreme, and we'll say, I want to affirm John 3:16, but the other stuff, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to make a domesticated Jesus, right? A different God. Somebody once said that in the beginning God created man in his own image, and ever since that point man has been trying to return the favor. And he's been making God in his own image, and the image that they've made of God is nothing like what we see in the Word of God. And I'm talking about an evangelicalism. Not the pagan re-imaging God, but we're finding that the church is re-imaging God rather than letting God be God, right?
That's right, and this is what I call Home Depot theology. A while back they had the slogan, "You can do it, we can help."
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a bad day when the church begins to take a theology from a home improvement store, this idea that, oh, you can do it, God can help. It's kind of this solo bootstrap. You pull yourself up by your bootstraps. God is your co-pilot. He comes and takes the wheel only when you hit a rough patch of ice or something, or slip patch of ice. But he's not the sovereign, self-existent creator of the world. He's not the Lord. And so in American theology, it's just We're uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let freedom ring. We want to be the arbiters of truth. And so we kind of reduce God to something similar to Santa. Maybe he sees you when you're sleeping or knows when you're awake or something. But that's about the extent where he's like God is watching you from a distance.
Mm.
But he's not really there. There's no such thing. You know, we don't in America don't believe in providence and these other aspects that that the Bible as a whole presents of the character and the attributes of God.
Mm. Well said. I think that's exactly what's taking place. I had an instance, actually somebody listening to the radio program had contacted me and didn't appreciate at first what I had said on the program, and so was telling me, why she wasn't too crazy about what I had said. And so we formed a little dialogue back and forth in email, and it came all the way to the point where she finally said that, she was willing to really considering giving her life to Christ and becoming a Christian and so forth. And I said, well, tell me, what obstacles are there that are holding you back? And she articulated in the email that the obstacle was the God of the Old Testament. And she couldn't reconcile the events where, whole villages or cities were destroyed and men, women, and children and stoning and all these things that you're articulating in your book. So I started to write back, and for a brief moment, I was tempted. I said, well, I've got to, I got to smooth out the rough edges here. I need to, present this in another way. Well, some of the language, and, I was going to soft pedal it and had this temptation. Well, I mean, she's so close. I don't want to discourage her in any way. So, then all of a sudden I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I said, I wrote back and said, well, God kills 100% of the people. I said, He created everybody. Our breath is in His hands. The next beat of my heart is up to Him. I said, God is the sovereign God. Let God be God. And I sent the email. And I just said, I'm just going to present God the way that He reveals Himself in the Word of God. And she wrote back and said, thank you very much. That makes perfect sense.
Huh.
I've never heard, nobody's ever said that before, told me that before. And she believed, and she repented of her sins and became a believer.
Huh.
And I just said, this is God and His Word. It wasn't anything that I did in particular. I just got out of the way and let God present His own self in the Word of God. Is that somewhat of what you're arguing for in this book?
Yeah, on several different ways. You mentioned the two parts. The second part of the book, I go through seven of what I think are some of the most censored, covered up areas, topics in the Bible. So I mention, one of the chapters is on God, so making God in our image. I think there's several of these major areas that I think that, what I call it is functional embarrassment. So we're not meaning to do this. I think for a lot of evangelicals, let me be clear about this, that it's not that we are intending to do this. If someone says, oh, you're embarrassed by the Bible, first reaction is, no, I'm not. I don't do this. But the more that I, examine my own heart in this, in my own, the ways that I approach certain doctrines or, I see this with the word sin. Sin is just we don't like that word, so we replace it with everything else, troubles and mistakes and brokenness, whatever. We see this in a thousand different ways where we only like certain parts and we gravitate toward those. And what I think Paul was encouraging the elders there in the book of Acts about the whole counsel of God is very important for us. And,
yes.
And even when someone that says, like this person you're talking about, says, well, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. Have you read Revelation 19?
Mm-hmm.
This Christ who comes and it says who makes war. It's really when you look at the whole counsel of God, there isn't this disconnect between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. It's just that God's wrath is fully poured out on His Son on the cross. I mean, talk about something that's unjust and scandalous. You see it there. And, you know, it would not be unjust for the wages of sin to fall upon someone who is in rebellion against God in the Old Testament.
That's right.
So,
exactly.
Anyway.
Let me read those seven things just so people know what they are. After talking about making God in our image, you talk about covering up creation. Boy, do we see that happening. There's so much embarrassment, it seems, in the evangelical world over the fact that God could create everything in 6 days. And so
right.
we've got to try to blunt that somehow and say something different. You talk about masking the reality of sin, turning a blind eye to suffering, hiding the horrors of hell. I mean, when was the last time you heard a sermon about hell and all that the Scripture has to say about everlasting punishment? Most of it, by the way, coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself is where
That's
we formulate most of our doctrine about the subject of eternal damnation. Then number 11 in your book, it says going after gimmicks, obviously playing off of somewhat of your other books, but success in the entertainment church. That's what's taking place today. People seem to be entertained to death here in the church because I think we're basically sending the message that we're bored with God and he's not good enough. So we've got to bring in all this other entertainment to keep people engaged. And then the final one that you put there in chapter 12 is don't try this at home, outsourcing parenting. Ouch. You're getting, you know, now you've gone to meddling, I think they say in the Southern Baptist Church. You've gone to meddling. So give us a little bit. We only have a couple minutes left, Brian, but tell us what you're hoping then to achieve in bringing these points up.
Yeah, I hope, first off, that we would have an awareness of how we do this, not only as individuals, but as churches. I know for a lot of churches, for example, you know, they really pride themselves on supporting some social moral in the culture, and yet they cover up other things, maybe like qualified elders and deacons. You know, if they can swing a hammer, they're a deacon, or if they're a CEO of a company, they're an elder in a church or a pastor. You know, we cover up those things because it's a little bit too far. Part of this, I hope that we recognize this not only as individuals and families, but as churches, as communities. And then I hope that we would repent of that and be humble enough to do that and to try to actually find those texts that we've been avoiding and to meditate on them, to camp out there, to try to understand them. And if we don't understand them, to consult some good resources. I try to give some resources throughout the book on these topics, on these items. And so I think some of this is just, let's actually look at those texts. Instead of avoiding them, let's actually go to them and try to understand them. If you know, we do believe that all Scripture is God-breathed. And if that's true, it is profitable. It is good for us. And it's the bread of life. And we should go to it and try to understand it, try to learn from that, and that would lead to, ultimately, worship and praise of our great God.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Mark Twain, but I'm not sure, but said something along this line. It's not the verses in the Bible that I don't understand that trouble me. It's the verses that I do understand. You know, when Jesus says things like, take up your cross and follow me, you know, except a man eat my flesh and blood, you know, he cannot be my disciple. You know, these types of plain texts that we find in the Word of God that speak about a dying to self and a living to Christ,
right.
a living for Christ, these things are clear and they're not people. Somehow when they come up with a video like this, I don't know what they read, but they didn't read the Bible. They didn't even seem to read the New Testament Scripture, even the Gospel. They hear the Lord Jesus Christ making these statements. For them to now reposition Christianity as something else. You've got a couple of great statements in here about it being America's fig leaf faith. I think those are great statements. This is exactly what we see. It just is a different faith altogether than the one that we see once delivered unto the saints, and that's articulated for us in the Word of God. Well, Brian, thank you so much for writing a book like this. I think it's very timely. We were just able to scratch the surface of it, but I appreciate what you're writing in here and the way that you're calling us to look to the Word of God. And to me, it seems to the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign. Let God be God, and let His self-revelation speak for itself about who He is and what He requires of us. And I think that's a timely message.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Brian. Thanks again. Again, the book is entitled Uncensored, and it is Daring to Embrace the Entire Bible. The book is published by David C. Cook. It doesn't actually release until October 1st. However, you can go out onto Amazon and you can pre-order a copy of the book. One of the taglines says that the book disrupts a socially acceptable feel-good faith. I think it really does that. It really interrupts that message to say, you know, we've got an important message from the sponsor, from the one who actually wrote the book, the Holy Spirit of God. And what he is saying there is, this is the divine revelation. This is God's self-revelation.
For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.